Good Thursday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. The Labor Department today says that U.S. consumer prices rose slightly last month as gas costs increased at a slower pace. The consumer price index rose 0.2% in July. After a 0.5% gain in June, gas prices rose 1% last month after jumping 6.3% in June. Excluding food and gas costs, core prices also rose 0.2%. They've increased 1.7% in the past year, below the Federal Reserve's annual inflation target of 2%. The Taiwan Flour Millers Association today purchased two cargoes totaling 101,500 metric tons of U.S. wheat in a tender subject to guarantees that the shipments will be non-genetically modified. Taiwan relies on the U.S. for more than 75% of its wheat imports. Meanwhile, the Taiwan Sugar Corporation today purchased 29,000 metric tons of U.S. corn and 5,000 tons of U.S. soybeans from Archer Daniels Midland for shipment in September and October. This morning, USDA released its latest export sales report for the week ending August 8th. The numbers look like this: in millions of bushels, wheat this year, 18.0, next year, 0.2, corn this year, minus 2.3, next year, 32.9, and soybeans this year, minus 0.4, and next year, 69.6. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is 15,140. It's down 164 points. The NASDAQ 3,085 is down 37.5. And the S&P 500 is 1,664. It's down 17.25 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Most of the Midwest will likely go through the next few days without a tremendous amount of rainfall because of a change in the forecast that occurred overnight due to the shifting once again of the tropical system that's expected to move into the southeastern part of the country. Yesterday, it looked like the storm was going to evolve into a significant tropical cyclone and move inland between New Orleans and portions of western sections of Florida's panhandle. That is no longer the case today. First of all, the storm system is advertised to not intensify nearly as much as suggested yesterday and may only work its way into a tropical depression status, maybe a weak tropical storm, but it does not look like it'll make it into a hurricane before it reaches land. The system is going to become somewhat elongated, and we'll probably see precipitation already spreading inland today across parts of the Florida Panhandle, and we'll probably see rain certainly tomorrow all the way through Monday across much of the region from southern portions of Alabama and northwest Florida all the way up to Virginia. The precipitation that occurs will be quite varied, but it does look like it's going to be heavy, at least in part of that region, with 2 to 5 inches of rain expected. Some local totals may be getting upwards to 7 or 8 inches. Certainly wouldn't be out of the realm of possibilities in the Florida Panhandle. Now, with all the moisture headed into that corridor, most of the Midwest will be left high and dry. We don't expect to see much precipitation. There will be a little bit of moisture around, but probably not very impressive. The most significant news in the Midwest there this morning is the fact that western Iowa finally picked up on some needed rain, along with portions of eastern Nebraska. Rain totals range from 0.2 to 0.8 inches, with some local amounts of 1 to 1.5 inches. Some of the Doppler radar imagery suggests areas near Omaha, Nebraska, may have received upwards to 2 inches of rain out of the deal. Central Iowa, though, did not see much precipitation from this event. Most of Illinois will not, and it looks like portions of the eastern Dakotas and Minnesota will also continue to see a net drying biased environment. All of these areas I've just mentioned are running a little dry and need moisture, but it's not likely to occur. And what showers do take place over the next week to 10 days is going to be lost to evaporation because we're going to see warmer temperatures spread back across most of the region. Afternoon temperatures will be rising out of the 70s here today into the 80s by the end of the weekend and into the early part of next week. Most of the warmth will continue as we go through next week, and I would imagine 90-degree temperatures will start to show up in the southwestern portions of the Corn Belt more routinely beginning in the second half, maybe about a week from now, actually second half of next week, and continuing on into the following weekend. This warm weather is going to be very important for the Midwest. Crops need to be accelerated in their development after the recent cold bout, and it does look like that there's a fair chance we'll see more cold weather coming into northwestern areas in early September. So again, it's very important that we take full advantage of this warmer biased period and help the crops get mature as quickly as possible. Well, we do expect to see the morning lows to not be nearly as cold as they were yesterday morning in the upper parts of the Midwest. We'll expect to see low temperatures mostly in the 50s and 60s as we go through the weekend and on into the early part of next week, with no real threat of any kind of temperatures cooler than upper 40s anytime soon. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's see how futures are trading. December hard red winter wheat at 705 and a quarter is up 2 1/4. Soft December wheat is 646 and a quarter, up 3 1/2. September corn, 476, up 11 and a quarter. December, 465 and a quarter. Up 10, now 9 3/4. September soybeans, 1286 and 3/4, up 17 and a quarter. November, 1256 and a quarter, up 17 and a quarter. September soybean meal, 414.90, up $7. September soybean oil, 42.70, up 36. August live cattle, 124.10, up 10 cents. August feeders, 153.42 1/2, down 17 and a half. And October lean hogs are 87.70. They are down 45. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Ellen Dearden of AgriView, and she is in Morton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning to you, Dave.
Looks like the market today is reacting to a weather report that all of a sudden got a little bit drier overnight.
Yeah, it sure did, and I know that this tropical disturbance in the Caribbean, they really weren't sure yesterday what the path of that thing was going to be, but landfall looks like overnight, Friday night or Saturday. So it looks like it'll go further east, and that'll leave the Midwest pretty high and dry.
And hot, because the temperature could be warming up next week.
Yeah, it looks like a warm-up, and I think for a lot of guys that may be a bit welcome since we're behind on growing degree days, and these heat units are what will bring this corn to maturity.
Meanwhile, soybeans, since we got the report on Monday of acreage that was a little bit shocking to producers and anybody who's interested in soybeans, has gone straight up. It's gone up as fast as it's gone down.
Yeah, that's kind of unusual. Usually we climb a little more slowly than we break. But, you know, I think a lot of that's based on the larger prevented planted acres of beans than what the trade was looking at.
The trade gets a number yesterday from the Farm Service Agency of 1.618 million acres, including, let's see, for Illinois, it looks like 113,007.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also we talked about the beans going up. Technically, you know, we passed the 50% retracement of the move from the May high to the week ago low when we took out this morning that 1247 and 3/4 area. So I think that probably sparked some buying on stops as well.
And the 200-day moving average is just above the market, too. I suppose if we could pop above that somehow, we might see prices back up at that $13 level.
I would think so. We certainly have a lot of resistance up in that range, 1295 to 13. Well, just a week ago, we were talking a dollar lower.
Yeah, how quickly things change. So in the corn market, technicals, though, they're a little confusing. You get a hook reversal higher, then you get something a little bit lower, then you go sideways. Don't think the trade is of a mind quite what to do yet.
I believe you're right. And also, the specs are still heavily short this market, adding to short positions for the last 3 weeks. So when you have the large spec on the short side, it's difficult to sustain a rally.
Turn your attention to the livestock. What are you seeing there today?
We'll probably be a little higher. We haven't seen higher corn prices hurt the livestock futures all that much, but we've got a cash situation that's developing in the southern plains on the cattle, and that should be pretty positive.
Thank you very much, Ellen. That's Ellen Dearden of AgriView, and she is in Morton, Illinois. Let's go ahead and look at the current tick. Hard red December wheat, 704 and a half, up 1.5. Soft December, 647 and a quarter, up 4.25. September corn, 474 and 3/4, up 10. December, 464 and a quarter, up 9. September soybeans, 1286, up 16 and a half. November, 1256, up 17. September soybean meal, 415.10, up 7.20. September soybean oil, 42.68, up 34. August live cattle, 124.05, up a nickel. August feeder cattle, 153.47 and a half, down 12 and a half. And October lean hogs are 87.65, and they are down 50. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.